I'm Tass Mellis of The Starters.
This is Ben Golver with the Open Floor Podcast.
Hi, I'm Kristen Ludlow from NBA Inside Stuff.
I'm OG Anunoby of the Toronto Raptors.
Hey, I'm Elena Deladon, and welcome to the Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Double Clutch Podcast. My name's Tom, and we are live on Twitch. We're live on Twitter for the first time this week. And hello to those listening to us a bit later on the podcast. We're coming to you live tonight from a spare bedroom in Stoke-on-Trent and what looks like a bathtub in Sheffield. I'm joined by Harry Harrison. How are you, mate?
I'm doing all right, thank you. The curtains in this bedroom do look quite shower curtain-ish. So apologies for the bathroom-esque setting.
It's all right, it's all right. How are you doing? What have you been up to recently?
Uni's finished. I've been at work. That's cool. And I've started coaching the Crooks Cyclones basketball team. Shout out to the Crooks Cyclones.
Oh, nice.
In Sheffield. It's a very beginner team, but the enthusiasm's there, which you always love to see as a coach. So that's my basketball highlight since I've last been on, at least.
Nice. There has been so much sport going on. Obviously, we're here to talk basketball tonight, particularly the finals that's coming up. But the question that we've got to start with, especially because Mike's not on, who is Mr. Anti-Football, is it coming home? Have you been watching? What do you think?
Yes, I think it's coming home. I'm all for it. I'm getting behind it. I've watched every England game. One of my co-workers at the Watch Lab in Meadow Hall in Sheffield, Chris Began, shout out Chris, let me go home a half an hour earlier than I was supposed to so I could catch the second half of the England-Germany game, which you absolutely love to see. So,
Have you been watching at home, or have you been like, now the rules are easing, have you been going to the pubs or
absolutely kind of not? I've still got coronaphobia.
Really?
Hell yeah.
You're gonna be one of these guys that wears them. It's all coming out today, isn't it, that like people are arguing about whether they're gonna wear masks or not. Now the rules are easing.
I'm still wearing a mask. The way I see it is, as much as the mask protects more people, protects others more than you, it's still more protection than not wearing one at all. And as much as I have had my first jab, I still don't want the damn thing. Anyway.
That's fair. Nice. Yeah, I'm here isolating tonight, so I can't really argue with that. I did go to the pub to watch the game, and now I'm stuck in for 7 days.
I had to isolate a couple of weeks ago. I spent a week in isolation because we were filming a documentary here in Sheffield for the student media, and clearly one of our interviewees tested positive a few days later, which collapsed the whole production team.
Oh no!
Which was great, but I was isolating, and I managed to get through 90% of Mafia 3 on my PlayStation 4, which is a half decent game. It's not stellar, but you know, I got through a lot of it.
I definitely feel more bored now after like 3 or 4 days of isolating than I did for the whole of last year. It's mad.
Yeah.
But coming to the end soon. So anyway, let's get to some basketball. There's been a lot going on in the past week, a lot of games going on to recap. So let's go around the association. Very professional. There has been a lot going on this week, mainly just featuring the four teams that were left in the NBA. So since last Monday's episode, the Bucks won the Eastern Conference, going 2-1 up and then 2-2. And then went 3-2 and 4-2 to seal it in 6 games. They relied on big performances from Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday in the absence of Giannis, who missed the last 2 games, sending the Hawks going home. Trae Young did make it back, but it was a poor shooting performance. He clearly wasn't himself. I was just kind of struggling through those last few games, shooting 4 for 17, none of which were threes, and it wasn't enough to save the Hawks. So they returned to the finals for the first time since 1974. Harry, what do you reckon? There's been a lot of conversations between you and a lot of people in the DC Discord about whether you're going to slander the Bucks or you're going to apologise. Now is your chance.
I'm not apologising for my Bucks slander. But I will say, because I feel like, you know, Richard Fang or Richard Hunt, he will take it if I give them some sort of compliment. And I have to say, it was lovely to see the Bucks just actually be semi-competent when Giannis Antetokounmpo is not operating. You know, that's why they were rubbish in the playoffs the last couple of years, is because he's been shut down by some sort of defender. and they haven't been able to shoulder the missing load. But Brook Lopez, Chris Middleton, I only said Kate Middleton.
Wow.
They did a really, really good job of shouldering that load, and that's why they're in the final.
They did. A couple of other things. We'll get into that in a bit more depth in a minute as we do a bit of a finals preview, but just to kind of whiz through the rest of the stuff that's been going on. The meeting them in the finals will be the Suns, who won 4-2 as well over the Clippers, who couldn't quite get it done. And the Suns have home court on Wednesday when it starts. They've not made the playoffs in 10 years and never won the championship. We'll dig into that in a little bit again when we look at the finals. One of the amazing news stories from this week, I don't know if you saw this, Harry, was that Torrey Craig, who is now playing on the Suns, is guaranteed a ring, whatever happens, because he started the year on the books, played 18 games for them, and then pretty much got given away and is playing a decent role for the Suns.
We've seen it a few times, haven't we? You know, with Anderson Varejão as well, we got one when it was Warriors, Cavs, and it happens. And, you know, I don't think he'll be complaining whether he loses in the finals or not, because he's getting a ring. Although obviously, yeah, I think he would prefer it if he could win the trophy as well for the team he's on. But either way, fair play to you, young man, who's probably older than me. You get in the ring, which is, you know, that's a big thing, isn't it? So well done to you, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Good story as well. He's got a great backstory of just grafting and grafting and grafting. So fair play to him for getting a ring. The next major news story is that Marv Albert, absolute legend of the game, commentator who's been going for 55 years across loads of sports, but obviously mainly known for basketball, called time this week. He commentated on his last game. So he's kind of called it quits. He's 80 years old, so fair play. There was some questioning as to whether he was going to carry on and do a few extra games and maybe an extra season or two. But he's kind of moved on from that. Harry, who are your favourite commentators from now? Al's gone. So,
I mean, it's
who are your best parents?
Boring, but my number one has got to be Kevin Harlan, just because he's the one you hear the most when you play a lot of 2K. So, you know, I do like a bit of Kevin Harlan. But I also like the, I've forgotten his name, and it could be the same person, to be honest, because we had a chat about this before the show. I don't actually know who Marv Albert is, but I like
that blasphemy.
I like the Clippers commentator who goes like bingo and all that kind of thing. Yeah. when they feel like that. I like him too. That's kind of cool.
Nice. Yeah. I'm a big fan of like Doris Burke. I like the Celtics guys, Matt Gorman's class. But yeah, Marv Albert's going to leave a big hole, I think, and we'll see. It always surprises me, like, it seems like such an easy job to do. Same with football commentary, but I just end up getting annoyed at most of them. I feel like they all do a bad job, but it must be proper difficult. And then the last bit of news, there's a bit of Olympic qualification news that we saw this week, particularly last night. Team Canada, who are the next team behind USA to have the most NBA players, have missed out on the Olympics, losing in overtime, 103-101 against the Czech Republic. This is the team that had Nick Nurse coaching them. They had Andrew Wiggins, they had Nikhil Alexander-Walker, RJ Barrett, Trey Lyles, but they're not going to be in the Olympics because of a Thomas Satoransky overtime jump shot. What do you make of that?
I don't really know. I mean, it's not like Canada or Spain or something who are like, you know, they have NBA players but also renowned to be able to win an Olympic medal. It sucks, I guess, if you are Canadian or a Team Canada fan, but, you know, at least your country does manage to go to the Olympics and world tournaments every now and then for basketball, because Team GB doesn't sometimes, unfortunately.
That's true. You sound so upset.
But it's coming out.
I think for Canada, they've kind of had this on the calendar, on the horizon for a while. Obviously, they've had like the key player Jamal Murray and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and all those would have been leading the way and probably got them there. But it's just more disappointment for the Canadians. So maybe next time for them. Slovenia did make it thanks to Luka Doncic's triple-double, 31 points. So they'll be there after a victory against Lithuania. But yeah, I'm quite looking forward to that. The only thing that I'm gutted about, I didn't realise this until Kirk, who's the man pulling the strings behind the show, informed me that most of the Olympic sports are going to be on from like midnight until 5 a.m. So we're going to miss the majority of them. It's going to be a catch-up job, like watching the rest of the NBA. Never mind.
Yeah, it's going to be highlight shows all day. But I'm hoping, because in Brazil, the basketball games were quite late at night.
Mm.
I'm hoping that that maybe means that the Olympic basketball will be a more suitable time for me to watch it while it's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I would to see that. So fingers crossed, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Right, let's get into the juicy bit then. So we'll dig in a bit more and we'll go into this finals preview. As we said, the Bucks are there out of the East, facing the Suns out of the West. Who do you reckon is going to win? Will it be Giannis hobbling on one foot with the Bucks, or do you think that the Suns that are renowned for their depth this year? It's a pretty bizarre, we were saying before, weren't we? Like, it's a mad thing that it's these two teams that are kind of leading the way in the finals, that one of these two is going to emerge as the champions. It just seems bizarre considering the season that we've had.
It does. I mean, I'm going to be in a little bit of humble pie here, because I think the last time I was on, I was mentioning this before, but the last time I was on the pod was the episode before the playoffs started. And I fairly certain I said that the Suns would go out in round one for Lakers and the Bucks wouldn't make it past the conference semis. So, you know, fair play to them. But I am, after saying they go out in round one, I'm back in the Suns, because I think that it's just not escaping Chris Paul this year. Chris Paul's been too good. And he's raised the young Suns core and these young players to another level, that unfortunately I don't think Giannis is going to be able to carry the Bucks over. So yeah, my money's on the Suns, and it does hurt.
Would it make any difference if Giannis was guaranteed to be 100% fit? Would that sway you either way? Because there are reports coming out that he's ready for game one, but
no, it wouldn't. Not for me. I think Chris Paul has just, as I said, he's elevated the Suns this year, evidently, because they've made the playoffs, first of all. But, you know, he's clearly raised them so far. And fair play to Monty Williams as well, because the program and the culture he's created there is absolutely, like, you know, it's focused on winning. And I think out of the personnel on those teams, there's more champions on the Phoenix Suns. There's more champion players. I don't think Giannis Antetokounmpo is a champion player. I don't think he's a champion. There you go. That was the one I was going to do my Stephen A. Smith voice impression.
Here we go.
That was the one I was going to do my Stephen A. Smith voice impression on. But like, Giannis Antetokounmpo is not a champion. He's not, I don't think he is. And, you know, I hope for him that he proves me wrong. But he's not a champion. And I think Chris Paul most certainly is a champion, even though for the last 107 years, it feels like he's failed to get a ring. He is a champion, and I think there's many young players on the Suns team that he is turning into champions, or helping to develop into champions. So, yeah, my money's on the Suns.
I feel like I can't just... we're all about hot take Harry coming on here. Someone's putting the switch. I feel like I can't just leave you saying that with no explanation. Like, what is it about Giannis's game that you think is stopping
him? It's not his game. I think it's the person. He's too nice to be a champion. Don't get me wrong. Chris Paul is a nice fella. Wow. He's evidently a nice fella. He does a lot of stuff for his community. But when I look at Giannis, he's an incredible player who is evidently very physically gifted. He's got the physical tools to put up great stats and win basketball games. But I think it's just, that's it. he's an MVP, but he doesn't have that last oomph to take a team as the star man and the only star on the team. Because Chris Middleton's not a star. I stand by it. Chris Middleton's not a star. And, well, Drew Holiday is a star, but he's not a star. Yeah. But, like, he can't, it's not happening.
Yeah, okay. Have you closed the book on him then, like, forever, or is it just this season that you think? Is there something about Giannis that makes you think he'll never get one?
He's not getting a ring. Giannis Antetokounmpo is never ringing a ring.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Unless he either switches up like teams or the Bucks put someone else that could potentially upset him in terms of his usage onto the team.
Flipping out.
No rings for the Bucks. I'm sorry, Richard, there's no rings.
Wow. I do disagree. I think, not to sit on the fence, I think the tie is completely even between the two. I do disagree with the Giannis thing. I think he's shown, especially this playoffs, that just when he's, like you say, in past years, he's looked like you can just build a wall in front of him and his game is completely done for, and he's too happy to kind of settle for threes that he's not very good at. And then when he can't get to the rim, he doesn't look as active, doesn't look the same kind of player. I do think the mentality side of it, he's like one of the better players in the league in terms of he will work, and he has, I know he's a nice guy and he smiles and that, but he has got that ruthless streak as well. So for me,
he,
I think,
he calls the mean mug, but does that mean, you know, I can pull a mean mug? It doesn't mean that I'm, like, you know, not a nice person. Like, I can pull a mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Possibly the best mean face in the NBA, I would say, from Giannis.
He does. His mean mug is really good, actually. I'll give him that, but mean mugs don't win rings.
But you're saying it's just a facade. You're just saying it's...
It is a facade.
Man, I do think it's pretty even. It's been a story of injuries up to this point, not to discredit the two teams for getting there. We might see more. I don't think, if Giannis plays in game one, I don't think we'll see 100% Giannis. Who's to say? We're praying we don't, but Chris Paul could go down at any time, as could anyone else with the luck that we've had this year so far. So off the back of that, I think I can guess what your answer is, but who you would you bet on for finals MVP?
Who do you think I was going to say?
I mean, I would be surprised if you said anyone other than CP3 after that.
No, actually. I think this is why this finals matchup is good. And I don't mean, no matter what, you know, despite what I've just said, I don't think this is going to be a sweep for the Suns. You know, this is more than likely going to go the full seven game. I don't doubt that for a second. But I think it's going to come down to the crucial guys who are going to work hard and make a difference, maybe by not scoring the most points or throwing the most assists, but by doing the little things that make winning championship teams champions, like Andre Iguodala did against the Cavs in that first Warriors championship year in their little run recently. But so I'm going with DeAndre Ayton, as somebody in the chat has said already so far.
Wow, MVP.
So I can't remember who said it, but somebody said mentioned DeAndre Ayton, and I agree with them. I think DeAndre Ayton is going to be the finals MVP out of the two. If you look at it, and I think in a way that would make sense, is that who would be the most valuable player, not the person who's putting the most points up.
Wow. That's one of them like headlines that you read that's just clickbait to get people to listen to the podcast. But if you actually believe that, then fair play.
I do. I genuinely do. I've got a bit of like a soft spot for a big man who doesn't have to be the top scorer. Don't get me wrong, DeAndre Ayton has come on leaps and bounds with the ability to put the ball in the bucket. You can maybe put that down to the fact that Chris Paul is able to you know, put players in such a good position to score that they can't miss. But I think DeAndre Ayton is just going to be that guy. He's going to make Brook Lopez is going to have a really tough time, I think, if he's on Giannis. I think earlier in the season he gave Giannis quite a bit of trouble when the two teams matched up. You know, I think DeAndre Ayton and Iguodala got the Finals MVP for literally limiting LeBron to average a triple-double in the finals. So, I think it's DeAndre Ayton will be the most valuable player on the championship-winning team, which will be the Suns, because without DeAndre Ayton, that team wouldn't win the finals, I don't think.
Yeah. And maybe as well, because obviously the two guards that you would imagine are more, well, they are higher up in terms of the odds for who's going to get Finals MVP with Booker and with CP3. If they're going to have Jrue Holiday on them, that is something else. Like probably the best guard defender in the NBA. He's going to be limiting one of those guys depending on how the matchups play out. I don't know. I think obviously if the Bucks win it, I think you'd have to go hard to find anyone other than Giannis taking it. Because I think as well as him being the best player, he's like the face of that franchise. He's the guy that everyone wants to win a ring. So to give it to like Chris Middleton, who's been so inconsistent, or anybody else would just be mad. I do as well. I think that's the thing with the Suns. Unless Booker is a long way in front of CP3, I think that the way the narrative has worked so far with Chris Paul, everyone is so glad that he's there. They really want him to win. Booker might go back in the future. Whereas for CP3, this is like the culmination of everything he's worked towards. So I think for him, he'd be my favourite. He is the current favourite if the Suns win it. But Yeah, it's not unanimous. It's not going to be a clean sweep for him. He's going to have some competition.
By no means.
Do you reckon it's going to be one of those years? Obviously, we mentioned about the injuries before. Do you think it's going to be another asterisk year, like people were saying about the bubble last year?
No, I think it's different. I mean, there's still the fact that they are playing and going coast to coast with the injuries. Not with the injuries, with COVID going on around the world. There's players that have had to miss time, players that maybe should have missed time and didn't miss time. LeBron James. So, you know, we'll see. But I don't think it's an asterisk year. I think it's as normal an NBA season, barring people having to self-isolate, as you're going to come across. Yes, there's been a lot of injuries, but injuries happen. And it just happens that this year they've happened to the biggest names. So, no, I don't think it's an asterisk year. Whoever wins will be fully deserved of an NBA title and championship rings. I've got no other point to make. I don't think it will be an asterisk year at all.
Yeah, just out of interest, if everyone entered the playoffs with a full, and I didn't prepare you for this, so it's just off the top of your head, but if everyone entered with 100% fitness and health and everyone had a full roster, who would you have had to make the finals? Would it have changed from the two that have made it so far?
If everyone, what, as in anyone, does that include people who made the playoffs?
Yeah, let's just go for the whole playoffs, yeah. So it could be Brooklyn, it could be... Okay. Yeah, anybody.
So in terms of teams that made the playoffs, I would be going with the Lakers still.
Okay.
I know that they weren't exactly unfit against the Suns, or did they? Who was out? Somebody was out against the Suns. I can't remember who it was. Who was it?
So LeBron came in off the back of his ankle sprain, didn't he? And AD missed a bit of time, I think.
Yeah. I still think the Lakers would have won that if they were healthy. No need to start any Suns slander or CP3 slander or anything like that, because...
Yeah,
I've done enough of that, especially the last time I was on the pod and I was saying that they were going to lose in round one anyway. But I still think the Lakers would have beaten fully healthy, fully operational. Los Angeles Lakers would have dispatched of the Suns and of anyone else, and they would have made the finals and probably would have beaten the Nets, who probably would have made it in the East, because I don't think three dominant ball handlers like Kyrie, James Harden and Kevin Durant would work in a final setting. I don't think the Brooklyn Nets will, with that course trio, will win a title either. There's too much ego. There's too much ego. There's too many guys who are like, we're in the final. Yeah, we've gotten through the regular season, but we're in the finals now. And for a guy like James Harden, who's ringless, and Kyrie Irving, who, you know, has been the top man for the last couple of years, it's going to be more difficult for them to give over in that final setting when it's all on the line and just give it up to KD, which they should do.
But
if we're talking teams that didn't make the playoffs, I'd be going with the Warriors, because I still think a fully healthy Warriors team with both Steph and Clay, Draymond performing well at least, and just Steve Kerr having the pieces to play if they wanted to. I think the Warriors would have gone to the finals if they'd had a fully healthy team.
That is an interesting one. I feel like Clay has just like fallen off the face of the earth. We've all forgotten he exists. I didn't really think about the Warriors. I was really glad that the Nets didn't go through, just because of all the back and forth that we've had over the pod with different people and on the Discord and on Twitter and that kind of thing. And off the back of, obviously, the Celtics Nets, there's a bit of history there, especially with Kyrie and all that kind of thing. I wasn't glad to see him go out because of the injuries. I do think when I saw them all together for the very brief time that they had all on the floor at the same time in the playoffs, it was scary good. So as much as it pains me to say, I don't see how anyone could have beaten them. Maybe the Lakers if they were all to full health. But yeah, I think the Nets for me... would have been favourites. Let's move on. We've done quite a bit on the finals. I'm sure there'll be much more coming over the next few weeks, especially if it goes seven. Let's turn our attention to something that I know me and you are very keen on, because whenever it gets to this time of year, that the NBA is coming to the end. It gets this to my favourite part prime. Of the NBA season.
This is when we enter our prime.
This is the off-season, when there's no games on.
There's no games, no basketball to actually have to pay attention to. We can just talk about...
Oh, I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
So before we get to the draft, we're just going to do a very brief kind of look at the draft, and especially like the top five players, because it is kind of renowned as a top five heavy draft this year. But just off the back of the teams that have exited the playoffs and all that kind of thing, as the dust settles, do you think there's going to be any key changes made with those teams that haven't made it all the way? So there's a lot of talk about Kawhi. I mean, no one ever knows what's going on in Kawhi's head, but he's a free agent this year, or can be if he opts out. Do you think any, like the Hawks, need to make any moves? Do you think any of these other teams, like the Nets or anyone, are going to make any off-season switches?
I'll tell you the one that I think is going to be the biggest changer is going to be the Sixers, because there's been a lot of talk about Ben Simmons' future, which of course I've been paying attention to as a Timberwolves fan, because there's been a lot of talk about how Minnesota want Ben Simmons, and I quote, badly. They badly want Ben Simmons. So I'm paying attention to that quite closely personally, but I think it's very, very possible that Daryl Morey could pull the plug on Ben Simmons. He doesn't fit in with Daryl Morey's traditional team lineups. I think the Sixers ones, where I think we're more likely to see change from anywhere else. I think you've just got the Atlanta Hawks. I think you've just got to give them time. They'll be back because, like, in game six, I think they went out in six, didn't they? They did. It was 4-2. Game six, Cam Reddish. Like, what? He balled out. And I've been a Cam Reddish stan since he was drafted, because I think people forget that before him, Zion, and RJ Barrett all went to Duke, he was a top three draft pick, alternating with RJ Barrett, kind of occasionally topping the pair of them as the number one prospect. But, you know, he was played third, you know, he was the third option behind RJ Barrett and Zion in that year in Duke, and that made his draft stop time. I am a massive, massive Cam Reddish fan, sorry. So, yeah, I think that team is going to come back for sure. I think the success in the playoffs has maybe potentially eased John Collins' concerns with how much Trae Young touches the ball. I think the Hawks will be back because their young core is incredible. Bogdan Bogdanovich was a massive pickup in the offseason as well. They'll be back. I don't think we're seeing any changes there. They've just penned in Nate McMillan permanently, I think, as well, which is a great sign, because Nate McMillan is a fantastic coach. The Hawks will be back, but yeah, the Sixers will be the big change of this offseason, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Ben Simmons thing is mad. I don't see, obviously there's all the talk about him kind of rehabilitating his jump shot at the moment, but yeah, all signs to me point towards
Ben Simmons has been rehabilitating his jump shot since he was 13. It's not happening.
Yeah, so it's fair. And especially for a Daryl Morey guy who's comes from a background of being pure statistics and like all threes and that kind of thing, he just does not suit the system there. So I don't know what you get for him now. I think his value is probably a lot higher than people think. Whether it's a Lillard kind of size move is probably a bit doubtful to me. If you're looking at someone like Buddy Hield, that's probably the other end of the spectrum. So maybe somewhere in the middle where it's going to be like a star that's not quite a star, but it's decent still.
There's a lot of talk, I think, with draft picks going around and role players, particularly on the Wolves side of the deal, which apparently is more possible than people may think. Because the Wolves don't want to give up D'Lo if they don't have to. Apparently, a lot of it is centered around, you know, Ricky Rubio and a shit ton of draft picks, if I'm allowed to say that. I think it could really depend on what the Sixers and Daryl Morey is looking for. Because, as I say, I don't think they'll get a star worth Ben Simmons from the deal. They're not, as you say, going to get a Damian type thing. And they're not going to take something like Buddy Hield, who, for the system that Daryl Morey likes to run, is maybe more suitable. It's obviously more suitable than maybe Ben Simmons. It's a tricky one.
Yeah, I don't really know, especially as a Sixers fan, like, I don't know what you'd want. Because obviously you want someone who maximises the team and maximises Embiid, which are going to be shooters, but then you've also had this decade of losing and trust the process and that kind of thing, and then you get this Ben Simmons, the number one pick, this prize piece, and to give up on that for what might be a couple of role players and a pick, I don't know if that would satisfy the Sixers fans. I guess it would all depend on how it turns out next playoffs, wouldn't it?
I think Sixers fans are getting fed up with the process. I think the process is taking too long. I think I can't remember where I saw it, but that was a headline that people are getting fed up with the process. The process is taking too long, stuff like that. And I wouldn't be surprised that if the Sixers don't start making finals appearances soon, like fair play, they've got the number one seed this year in the East, but if they don't start making finals appearances soon, you know, Joel Embiid isn't going to want to stick around either. You know, Joel Embiid is going to give up on the process. He is the process, and he's going to give up on the process. So, you know, I think something's got to change. But Daryl Morey is a clever guy. He'll know what strings to pull and what players to bring in to really maximise that team and try and take Embiid to the finals, because that's what they're going to want to do to keep him for as long as they can.
Yeah, for sure. Right, let's get into the draft then. Let's get hands dirty. Here we go. So we had the draft lottery a couple of weeks back. And so that the top six picks there were Detroit have got the number one pick, followed by Houston, Cleveland, Toronto at four, Magic at five, and then OKC at six. They missed out a little bit. And it is very much a top five, some would say a top six draft in terms of there's like some elite talent up there that is probably better than what we've seen, especially compared to last year, I would say. And then there's a bit of a drop off after there, but still some very good role players. Who's caught your eye, Harry, in terms of the guys at the top of that list?
I mean, it's fairly obvious, but I think we've got to start with Cade Cunningham. The guy is, there's not a doubt in my mind that man is going number one overall. It's, you know, obviously last year it was a little bit more ambiguous as to who was going to go number one, because there wasn't a set in stone, as you usually have that player who's going to go number one, or maybe one or two players that can kind of be a toss up between. But I think no matter the team, Cade Cunningham is going to be going first overall. Because he's just that guy. He's going to come in and he will make an impact. He will score. He will assist. It's going to be Ja Morant style impact off the bat, I can imagine. I feel like that's a fairly decent comparison to make. Yeah, Ja Morant style impact off the bat. And Detroit would be stupid to pass up on it.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's one of those guys, like a name that I'd heard for a while. And I do enjoy doing the draft stuff. So he was one of those guys that I went out of my way to watch. I mean, wherever you get college basketball now in the UK, I think it's on like some bizarre BT channel earlier in the year. But he is amazing. And I agree that for me, he is the number one pick. Seems like someone who just orchestrates everything and it all comes very naturally to him. But in the same way, he's not obsessed with being the number one guy. So he obviously had to be on his Oklahoma State team because they weren't very good, and he could handle that, and he could score, and he could facilitate and all that kind of thing. And he's an amazing defender because he's got some size as well, which like, is kind of...
I think it is still similar in that sense to Ja Morant. I think he's the best comparison. Yeah, yeah. Like even in their game style, you know, in their ability and the vision that they both possess, because Ja Morant didn't go to a big name college. He went, what was it, Murray State or something like that, and didn't have that pressure of being expected to win the March Madness tourney like maybe Zion Williamson did with Duke, with that trio that they had at the time. And so I think he's put up great stats, because Oklahoma aren't a great team this year. They haven't been, but I don't think they're empty stats. He's a fantastic young player, and as I say, he's going to make a tremendous impact straight away. Very exciting young man.
So Detroit's got the number one pick at the moment. It looks as if they said all the right things in terms of they're going to evaluate everybody and that kind of thing. Do you have them as just taking Cade Cunningham, no questions asked?
No questions asked. There is no one on Detroit Pistons team right now. You know, okay, there's Jeremy Grant, actually. I regret saying that. I take that back. Jeremy Grant has been fantastic this season. And Cade Cunningham
Baselander.
Okay. Jeremy Grant and Sadiq Bey have been fantastic this season, and the perfect guy to compliment them would be Cade Cunningham. Yeah, it's a lock. They're saying all the right things, but you never want to give too much away, even though everyone knows. The NBA draft, the upcoming NBA draft's worst kept secret is that Cade Cunningham is going number one overall, even if it's not Detroit picking first overall.
Yeah, there are some rumours actually that obviously he's at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma have got these like in the 30s, like first round picks over the next few years. They could just chuck three or four picks at Detroit and say, we want to move up and take this guy. We think he's the piece moving forward. Him and Shea as their guards would be insane, just in terms of length and their complementary play styles would be amazing. But we'll see if that actually comes to fruition. I love a trade, so I'm hoping that something like that happens.
How many Tom Hall, you know, potential trade pieces have we seen?
Here we go. I think draft night might be one of my favourite nights of the year because you just sit on your phone and it's just Woj constantly with like, this pick's gone, this pick's gone. They've all been traded. It's absolutely nuts. So can't wait for that one. Yeah, him and Shams, yeah. I'm a bit gutted because I was meant to be in Boston this year for when the draft's on, but it's not looking very likely at the moment, so never mind. It'll be another early morning over in the UK. So looking at the rest of the top five, let's say, we've got Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga, who are at the G League Ignite team. So they didn't go the normal college route. And then you've got Evan Mobley and Jalen Suggs. What do you reckon? Who would you have as number two in that list? Who would go to Houston at the moment?
Out of those four guys, Jalen Green. I know I'm literally kind of just regurgitating the Ringer mock draft here, but I think that's the best fit. I think the consensus two and three are Jalen Green and Evan Mobley. But in terms of what's going to work best for Houston, I think Jalen Green is going to bring them something similar to what James Harden kind of brought them, with that ability to create his own shot, be a real nuisance on the offensive end. And he's a good fit for Christian Wood as well, and a much better fit for Christian Wood than Evan Mobley would be. So as I say, just regurgitating the Ringer's mock draft and Kevin O'Connor's analysis of that pick, but Kevin O'Connor's right, so well done, Kevin.
Yeah, legend.
We love you, mate.
if you're listening, you're a legend.
If you're listening, Kevin, we love you. Can you come on? Come on the pod.
Big DC pod fan. I like that. Jalen Green, he's one of these guys that has kind of been around the top of the draft for the past year or so, hasn't he? And going and playing, it's always hard when they go and play in the G League rather than college, which is something that's happening more and more now. Because you don't know really how the competition, like if they're on a level playing field. Some people say the G League's a lot better. So I think, I do think he's going to be one of these guys that's a success. I can't see him being a bust just because we've seen him perform against, albeit bottom tier, but bottom tier NBA talent already. Yeah. So I think he'll be fairly all right. Very briefly then, we've mentioned the other names. Let's just whiz through. Evan Mobley, center out of USC. He's one of these guys who people reckon can be a franchise center. He's not the kind of Embiid, physically dominant, is going to knock people around, but he's very versatile, and he's quite skinny, he's very long, he can shoot from outside, and he's a good defender on the perimeter as he is inside. So is there anything there that you've seen that you haven't gone to Cleveland at three, or you think it's going to slide later down?
Nah,
it's being a big man.
Also, again, regurgitating Kevin O'Connor and the Ringer mock draft, but Evan Mobley is the number three pick, is the best fit for Cleveland if they keep a hold of Colin Sexton. There's been some talk that Colin Sexton, very minor talk granted, but the occasional rumor that Colin Sexton could be on the way out because a lot of players are unhappy with the amount he holds the ball. But I think he will mature eventually, and you know, it's not just Colin Sexton, even though the game plan seems to be drawn up so that it is just Colin Sexton, but I think that will change. And as you say, Evan Mobley is the prototype, I feel, potential future star center in the league. You know, he's not got that Stephen Adams sort of weight that you can kind of throw around, or even, well, Shaquille O'Neal probably would have been a better analogy there. You know, but that's not the modern NBA center that we're looking for. We're looking for these guys who can do everything and still be 7 feet tall. Is he 7 feet tall? I don't know. But near enough.
Yeah.
You know, and he can do that. He can defend on the perimeter, as he said. Can shoot the three ball, as he said. He is a fantastic prototype, modern, future star, big man, who we could very much see in the discussion for the best bigs a few years into his career.
Yeah, I like that. I think Cleveland will be praying that he turns up at three. for them, because obviously, as you said, they've got Sexton, they've got Garland, who they've taken over the past couple of years. They need the ball. They need time to continue developing. Garland's looked a lot better this year than he did previously. But they won't want, I mean, this is the challenge. This is the problem with the state that they've left themselves in, that they can't really afford to take another guard and play them all at the same time in Cleveland. So unless Sexton's off, as you said, I think they'll be praying for Mobley there. Jalen Suggs, I think he's the next guy for me. He could even find his way further up. He's been at Gonzaga. He had an amazing tournament. We all know, I think, was it the semis where he scored that last minute?
Yeah, that semis.
Last second buzzer. That was amazing shot.
Did the Dwayne Wade hopped on the table as well.
Yeah, so good.
That was great. But yeah, no.
I think Toronto would be buzzing if they got him.
I think so as well. I think Toronto obviously have got a very solid team. They're not the Kawhi Leonard Toronto Raptors, you know, from a couple of seasons ago, but there's no position that they couldn't maybe do with even some young boost, I don't feel. There is a lot of talk that Kyle Lowry could be on the way out as well. You know, there's trade packages always flying around for Kyle Lowry, potentially making an exit. So getting some more impact at the guard position with Fred VanVleet would not be a terrible shout. And I think he'd be a complimentary wing to OG as well, OG Anunoby, who we love at DC. Because, you know, a fantastic little core, I think, that I'd make for Toronto as well. Obviously with Pascal Siakam continuously improving as well, and Nick Nurse obviously a coach for the future at this point, but he's already a championship winner, and I think, you know, no matter where he is, there could be more championship to come for that team. So I think Janis Sanchez is solid, and yeah, as you say, they'll be ecstatic if Suggs is still there when it comes to their pick.
Yeah, I think that those four players that we've mentioned, they are pretty much locked in to be the top four in some kind of, it might not be that order, but they're pretty much the top four players for me. I do think there's a slight drop off to number five. And there's even some rumours now that it's not as locked in as it was to be Jonathan Kuminga, who's also been at the Ignite team in the G League. And we've seen this name, Scotty Barnes, who was at Florida State. He's done a bit of a Patrick Williams from last year, if anyone kind of followed that, where he was a guy that didn't play much, was very young, very raw, but he had the size and the skills as like a lengthy 6'7", 6'8", wing who can come in and defend and contribute straight away. He's kind of rocketed up some boards from the teams to now like 5 or 6. Do you reckon he's going to go in that range? Do you have him in the top five?
I think, as you say, there is a bit of a drop off, and it's a sticky one after the top four, because I don't feel like there is a massive lock. I don't remember. I think, did you just mention it? Who is number five again? I've forgotten.
Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, Jonathan Kuminga. And it's the Magic picking five. Well, the Magic blew it up as well, so I don't feel like there's a specific person who's going to, or position that they're going to really need to focus on, because they need it all. They need to fill it
all. That's true.
So yeah, that's why I think it's a sticky one to look at for the fifth pick, and for Orlando if they keep that fifth pick. I still see it being Kuminga. They like a player with Kuminga's kind of play style in Orlando, I feel.
They love a big man. They love a big man.
Yeah, they love a big man in Orlando. So I still reckon we'll probably see Kuminga go number five, but it is, as I say, it's a sticky one.
I like it. We've got maybe, what, how many, like a month maybe until the draft? It's coming up pretty soon. It's going to be, as we said, my favourite time of the year when the basketball stops and it just becomes all the talk about the trade window opening up and free agency and the draft and that kind of thing. So hopefully we'll have more opportunity to talk about this stuff
over the next few weeks. Version of the transfer window opening.
That's true.
In football. That's why it's so exciting, because it's got nothing to do with the actual sport. It's more about the people and the names. And what's happening? How is it going to set them up? And it's very exciting and can leave a lot of questions which are exciting to be answered. And I don't think there's anything more exciting than a big player being shifted in a trade or a big money free agent signing out there. There's nothing in NBA regular season that kind of tops that sort of, like, oh my God, how sick is that? Unless you get one of those trades in the regular season. So I'm all for it. Bring it on.
I like that. It's like the opposite of deadline day, like rather than it being at the end of the window, it's the start, and it all happens at the beginning. But instead of Jim White, we've got Woj. So Right, we better move on. We've done quite a bit there on the finals and on the draft. But we've got a few questions that have come in. So let's have the first one from Nick with Nick's Nothing But Nick's
Nothing
Silly
but
Nonsense.
Nick's Silly Nonsense.
Here we go. So this is Nick's question that he sent in today. I love game shows. In the UK, we've had some great ones and some terrible ones, but all play a valuable role in this noble British tradition. If you had to pick a representative from the world of basketball, past or present, for the following game shows, who would you choose and why? So I'll read through the game shows and then we'll go through them one by one. So he said, Countdown, Gladiators, The Wall, Would I Lie to You, and Naked Attraction, which is going to be an interesting one. But we'll start with Countdown. Harry, who have you got from the NBA?
I feel like there's only one player he can choose for Countdown. Is this a timer for me to announce my pick? Should I take up the full 30 seconds? he's a tremendous young player. There was concerns before he was drafted that he would be too clever for the NBA, and that he'd intimidate NBA GMs. I feel like Tom is nodding because he knows who I'm on about now.
Yeah.
Fantastic. He received an apprenticeship or something like that offer from NASA. Jaylen Brown.
Yes, congratulations. That is correct. I like that. I did look at Jaylen Brown and then thought, I probably can't say that being a Celtics fan.
Yeah, but I do like
that pick. Very clever.
What about you? Did you have instead of Jaylen Brown if you couldn't say Jaylen Brown then?
I went off the back of recency bias, so I went with Chris Paul just because of the way that he arranges things. He plays on the next level, that kind of thing. He's a level above everyone else. So I think, yeah, he'd be pretty good at Countdown, putting all the pieces together.
That's good, yeah.
There we go. Gladiators.
Stephen Adams, because he's scary.
Oh, that is a great pick. That is a great pick. I went again with recency bias and said Pat Bev just because he's shoving people over. I would love to see Pat Bev be Stephen Adams. That'd be amazing. With all these like YouTubers boxing and stuff at the moment, that would be one that I'd pay to see.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that'd be good. Well, Nate Robinson then, because he fought.
He's still not got up, has he?
I don't know if he's got up at all yet. No, he might still be in bed. But yeah, so Nate Robinson, that'd be quite entertaining as well. Nate Robinson versus Stephen Adams. The height mismatch, that'd be quite an entertaining one.
How about The Wall? I couldn't really think of this one. I just went with Shaq because I don't think he'd fit through the gap.
Isn't it the point that you do fit through the gap?
Yeah, I think, do they make it to, it's been that long since I've seen it, do they make it to your body shape? Or do they put it in different shapes?
Have we got the wrong show here? Is that is that Hole in the Wall, or are we talking like The Wall as in the one?
Oh, I'm thinking Hole in the Wall.
The one I was as well. I just thought that. Are we supposed to be on about the one with Danny Dyer?
I don't know. I don't know any other one.
Let's go a Hole in the Wall because I think it's more interesting.
Let me look this up. Yeah. So who did you go for that, for Hole in the Wall?
Hole in the Wall. I went with somebody like, you know, quite crafty, bit, you know, lanky kind of thing, quite small as well in size. I went with Steph Curry because he seems to put his body in all sorts of positions and still be able to knock down a three-pointer, so he can put and turn himself into a circle and fit through a wall, can't he? So
I'm not going to lie, I've just looked it up. It is Danny Dyer. I have never heard of that before in my life.
It's shit. I mean, it's rubbish, sorry. it's not very
I've never
good.
Seen
it's
that
really,
ever.
It's bad.
Apparently, right, I'm just on Wikipedia right now, created by some guy called Andrew Glassman and LeBron James. Who knew?
What?
Yeah.
The Wall.
You heard it here first. The Wall.
If that's true, that could be why Nick chose it, actually. I choose LeBron James for The Wall because he created it.
Would I Lie to You? I thought this was quite a good one.
Mm.
What are you saying for that?
I'm going to go with... Oh, this is a tough one. I don't actually know. I'm trying to think of people who have been like, oh, yeah. I'm going to go with Victor Oladipo because when he was in Indiana, he kept on saying that he's really happy, even though everyone knew he wasn't. And he was happy to hang around.
Fair.
And everyone knew he wasn't. So everyone was like, yeah, that's absolute rubbish, mate. That's toilet talk. Maybe he wouldn't be very good at it then. But either way, he was saying that he was happy in Indiana and he wanted to stay, and then he ended up getting traded and left like he actually wanted to. So
yeah. I like that. Off the back of that, I didn't think of it before, but maybe Paul George would be a good one because he seems to say wherever he goes, I want to stay here for
life. Yeah, that's a good one too, actually.
And then he moves on. So maybe he'd be decent. Yeah, I like that. And then the last one, easily the most intriguing of all the shows. I don't know what direction you want to take this, but Naked Attraction, which for people that have never seen it before,
it's fantastic.
Well done for staying away from it. But it's basically they just start with people that are completely naked and raise like a banner from the floor up. And you decide whether you like them or not based on their physique. Yeah. So who are you picking from the NBA to look at naked?
We had a similar question about TV shows once before, and it was about like TV shows with like NBA themes. And we had, you know, I came up with RuPaul's Drag Race at one point because of, you know, certain NBA players that I think would go well in RuPaul's. And my main pick for that one was Giannis Antetokounmpo, because he's a very good looking gentleman. I think he's one of the more attractive gentlemen, I think, in the NBA, maybe barring Kelly Oubre Jr. Obviously, there's a lot of talk about his attractiveness, but I was thinking
a lot of talk.
But I think, yeah, I'm going with Giannis because I think he's a very attractive gentleman. He's got a lovely set of muscles. he's just a very attractive man. I think if he was being shown off naked from like bottom to top, it would be quite an experience for anyone who watched it. So
It'd take a long time as well to get up that high.
Would, yeah, actually, yeah, they'd probably have to wait 5 minutes. Long show. Left, yeah, to get it up each level.
Lovely set of muscles. I did not know where to go with this. I have been backing the Celtics as being like the most handsome team in the NBA. Now we've got Ime Udoka as the coach. And we've got Al Horford back, who is also one of the most beautiful people in the NBA. Those eyes. But we're not about the eyes on Naked Attraction. We're about other bits. And just out of pure, just from pure intrigue, I think I'll go James Harden because he's just got such a strange build.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he's fat, but he's not fat. Obviously, he's one of the most elite sports people in the world. So I'd just be intrigued to see what his build is like.
I did see a few good suggestions pop up in the like little speech bubbles. We had Kyle Lowry at one point, because there's obviously a lot of talk about Kyle Lowry having some like junk in the trunk, isn't there? A lot of talk about the junk in the trunk for Kyle Lowry.
So much. What is all this talk that you're having?
It's Instagram comment section.
Maybe Aaron Baines would be a good one, because he famously had the Tommy Heightson said it was all of Australia when he looked at him in the shower. But yeah, that's probably a good point to move on from that one.
You're a ginger players. What, like is Nico Mannion on the Warriors is ginger, isn't he? Because somebody said like ginger players in the South.
Ginger and frizzy.
Is ginger.
Kevin Herter, maybe.
Kevin Herter, yeah.
We'll see. Somebody right, we've got a few minutes left. Yeah, okay, let's keep going. Discourse on Discord. So there's been a bit of chat this week. The most shocking thing easily being that there has been a photo that has emerged that we don't know if it's genuine, but it seems to be, of our own Mike Miller, the usual host of this show, who is off with his newborn tonight.
But he... Mike.
Emerged on social media this week wearing an England football shirt. This is someone that has been very vocal against football, shuts down any talk of when I tried to make an Embiid Pogba comparison, anything like that. I don't know if it's real, if it is, whether Mark is a closet
it's
fan.
Damning.
Or...
It's damning, if you ask me.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's actually career ending.
Just jumping on the bandwagon, any bandwagon fan. Yeah. Mark Miller. other stuff that's gone on, Chris Paul shared a graphic that our own Nick Whitfield made, which is quite amazing. Worked for Synergy Sports, and he made a graphic and Chris Paul shared it. The most impressive thing, Dennis Schroeder commented, "That's tough," which if you listened over the past couple of weeks has featured on the show, so that was pretty good. We did have one question in this week again from Mike Miller that we'll answer just quickly before we go.
Thank you, Mike.
What are your thoughts on the teams involved in the finals from the perspective of market size, star talent, and what it means for the league globally? Are you disappointed?
I've been disappointed with the season as a whole. Like, I know it sounds a bit daft because it's been so unpredictable because there's been so many injuries. It's just made the whole thing. But I feel like I've just been a bit disappointed with the season as a whole. And I know it does get boring, but I feel like what everyone wanted was a Lakers-Nets final. And that's what really it maybe should have been. So, you know, it's just been a bit of a disappointing season all round. Not, again, to not to knock the Suns and Bucks. They, based off how the season's gone, they both 100% deserve to be in the final. It's going to be a fantastic finals matchup. No matter how much I have slandered the Bucks in the past and I have slandered them this episode, they do 100% deserve to be in the final, particularly with how they all shouldered that load with Giannis out in the conference finals. But it's just been, it has been a bit of a disappointing season, and that's just me, I guess. That's just me. I don't really give much of a toss who wins the finals, if I'm being honest.
Well, you're a Timberwolves fan, so that's just the reality that you've come to deal with, isn't it? Over the past few years.
I think, I don't know, it's just been a bit of a disappointing season as a whole. But as I say, it is going to be an exciting finals because there is no clear-cut winner if you ask most people. But it's going to be an exciting finals. I think it'll go to 6-7 games. It's going to be a good one. And I am looking forward to it, despite the fact the season as a whole has been a little bit disappointing, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think for me, it has been disappointing just in terms of the injuries. Obviously, it's a star-driven league. We all want to see the best players going at it. No one wants to see another team go through just because the other team didn't make it through because of injuries and the best players weren't there. In terms of what it means for the league globally, I don't think it'll matter too much. I think if it's going to be competitive and even, I think that's decent for the league in terms of viewership and how competitive it is and that kind of thing. I do think that it's a good thing for the league itself and for those teams that are trying to rebuild, because these aren't teams like the Nets where they've just cleared house and all the free agents have chosen to go there and build it themselves. It's been fairly organic in terms of people like Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Giannis have been drafted to those teams and they've built from the ground up. And yeah, they've traded for CP3, but even he was a guy that's like people quit on 2 years ago and said he was one of the worst contracts in the league. So I think it's pretty good in terms of the direction the league's going. If it inspires more teams to do it organically and can kind of inspire these smaller franchises, not to label the Bucks and the Suns small franchises, but you know what I mean? Compared to the Lakers and the Nets, they definitely are. So I don't mind too much.
No, I agree. I really like, it's always good to see teams that have built a finals run rather than brought the finals run in. You know, fair play to the Nets front office. They brought the players that wanted to be in Brooklyn to Brooklyn. But you know, it's just satisfying, I think. You know, here's hoping, fingers crossed, the Wolves will make some sort of improvement next year with Karl Anthony Towns, despite the fact they've also brought in D'Angelo Russell, but we'll ignore that. You know, hopefully they'll make that jump for my sake and my own happiness, but it's really good to see. For the Suns and the Bucks, that this sort of thing is kind of growing. Obviously, you have to bring players in to complement those guys that are growing. You know, like they brought in Jrue Holiday in the Bucks, and as they brought in CP3 in Phoenix, and to elevate those teams a little bit more. But when the stars and the big impact are coming from grown players that you've picked up and taken all the way through their careers, it is a very nice thing to see. So I'm all for it. I'm all for it, and I'm not disappointed in that sense. I think it's really, really good in that sense, in that way.
Great. Just before we finish, then, very quickly, let's finish the way that we started. Let's get an exact finals prediction from you. Who's going to win, and how many games is it going to take?
Suns in seven. I'm saying it's going to go to seven. Suns in seven.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to go, just to be different, I'm going to go Bucks in seven. I do think it's going to go long, like you say. I hope Giannis is fit and we can see Clash of the Titans with all the best players there. Like you say, I don't really mind who wins, just as long as it's a good series, I'll be happy. I think that does it for us tonight. So thanks, Harry, for joining. Thanks for chatting. No, it's always good just to talk basketball, whether it's live on a podcast or not. It's nice just to chat.
Absolute nonsense that I like to chat and wile people up with.
Thank you for everyone who's dropped in. Thanks for people that are watching on Twitch. Thanks for people that are watching on Twitter for the first time. And thanks for listening on the podcast if you're catching up later in the week. Thanks for everyone who's followed us this week. We've had a few new ones on Twitter. So we've had Cavs UK, NB, and David Jeffries. And don't forget, you can subscribe for free to the Twitch stream if you've got Amazon Prime. I only realised that the other day, but get on that. And that is about it for this week, boys. So thanks, Kurt, for running the show and pulling the strings behind the scenes. Thanks, Harry. Have a good week. And see you soon.
Thank you. Let's go.